You know why God loves worship? Because it's good that we're in the Bible and we study. That's all wonderful and beautiful. But God also loves the heart. And it's through worship that you share with God how you feel about Him, not just what you think about Him.
Pastor Ray Bentley on the value of worship.
It's not singing as a warm-up act for the Bible study. It's worship.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. One might think the most important things we do in this life, we'll also do in the next life, in heaven. Yeah, probably not. The most important thing we'll do in heaven is worship God. Has worship been the most important thing in your week? Some remedial education today from Pastor Ray.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. The scene begins, the scene starts in chapter 4, verse 1. There's an open door in heaven. And I want to say that this very moment there, the door to heaven is open for the whole world. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was caught up in the Spirit. He heard a voice speaking to him as of a trumpet, "Come up here and I'll show you the things which must shortly come to pass." May that be the picture of us, the church. Here's the trumpet of the Lord, and we're caught up into the presence of the Lord. Amen? And so there he is, and the first thing he sees is God. That's the first thing that's going to blow us away. Of all the things in heaven, the streets of gold and angels and all the rest of it, when you see God, when we see God, it's going to wipe us out. And John saw that, and then he started seeing the cherubim, related to the cherubim around the throne, and then he saw the 24 elders. We mentioned they probably represent the redeemed of humanity, probably the 12 patriarchs from the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles from the new covenant, and they're sitting on thrones, and they've got crowns on their heads. And there's all this, the beauty and the glory as he describes the scene. But then there is a scroll in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne, God the Father. And it's a seven-sealed scroll. We talked about that is, we believe, the best way to describe it in modern understanding. It's the title deed to the planet Earth. Everything that Adam lost of the grace and the glory and the beauty and the paradise and the perfection of the beginning as it was lost. But now, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came, he purchased the redemption of not only humanity, he purchased the redemption of the whole planet and literally the whole universe. But he has not yet come to take full possession of that which he bought and paid for with his own body and blood. That day awaits, Revelation chapter 5. So we have this scene, and then there's a voice crying out, "Who is worthy?" And no one is found that is worthy. And so John is weeping, and he's brokenhearted, and he's sobbing, and he's grieving in his heart. And the reason, it doesn't tell us why, but most of the commentators say that in John was the thought that without that redemption, without that ability to bring us back to everything that we lost, that humanity would be perpetually living in death, generation after generation, violence, suffering, war, pain, and all the rest. And he was just grieving over that. And then a voice cries out, a strong voice, "Angel, there is one found worthy. And it is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David." So look with me we'll start with verse 1 of chapter 5 and make our way to where we left off last week. It says, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." And that's the document. When you loosen the seals, that's taking possession of all the contents that are legally described inside the redemption of the earth. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals." Now hold there for just a moment. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. This is describing the Messiah, the promised one, the deliverer who would come. Okay, he is the Lion King, King of Kings, but he is the Root of David. Think about that phrase for just a moment. Why not the Root of Abraham? Abraham's he's the guy it all started with, the father of faith. Abraham would be a great choice, but he's not described as the Root of Abraham. What about the Root of Moses? Up on Mount Sinai, the glory cloud, the giving of the laws and the commands of God, the Ten Commandments. But he is not described here as the Root of Moses. He is the Root of David. Why? What do you think in your mind? What is it about David? And immediately a phrase comes to our mind from the Old Testament. David is a man after the heart of God. David has a heart after God. How many of you want to have a heart after God? You want to be like that? Yes? So what does it mean to have a heart after God? What is it that was so unique about David that God said, "I want my son. My son will be like David." David will be a human form with all his flaws, humanity, and imperfection. But there will be something about David that I want to see in all of humanity. And so much so, I identify my son with him. He is the Root of David. And here's what I see. In fact, do you know that more other than the Messiah himself and Jesus Christ himself, more of the Bible is the second person written about more than anyone else after Jesus is David. In fact, he wrote all of the Psalms and the hymns of the Bible. Here's what I think it means, that God identifies him as the Root of David, because David was a worshiper of God. David knew how to worship God. He really knew how to worship God. And he let it all out. We have much to learn. We need to grow in this area of worship and what it really means to worship. If David came in here and worshiped the Lord, it would be scandalous to us. He would be loud, and he would probably be up, and sometimes he would be weeping and crying out loud. Sometimes he'd be shouting. Sometimes he'd be on his face. Sometimes he'd be up dancing around. He was a wild man. But God says, "I like that guy. That's what I want. That's what my son will be like, a heart of passion, a heart full, a heart that is overflowing, a heart that is unabashed and unashamed and unafraid, the Root of David." And it's interesting because this whole thing that we're talking about, what we see now is, it says in verse 6, he says, "And look, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." He thought he saw a lion, it was a lion of the tribe of Judah, but as he turned around, he saw a lamb. He saw Jesus who had laid down his life for you and for me. Oh, what a glorious thing that's going to be when we see Jesus. And the marks and the intensity of the love that he has for you. That's the great revelation that the Father wants to happen right now, is the revelation of his love. You and I have no idea. We need to pray, "Lord, open my eyes, let me see, let my heart be stretched to understand or come into a greater revelation of your love for me." That's what we all need. Amen? That's what will truly set us free, and free to worship. So he goes on, verse 7, it says, "And then he came." So here's where the whole scene leads to, that started in chapter 4, verse 1. It's all about the throne and the angels around the throne and the elders. But now, then he, Jesus, now found worthy, came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." Literally, as you imagine this scene, now we have Jesus, as Jesus comes up and he takes the scroll out with seven seals on it from the right hand of God and pulls it back, ready to unloose the first seal, all heaven breaks loose. We have an expression, all hell breaks loose. Well, here, all heaven breaks loose. And now we have, in the rest of Revelation, the end of it, three songs. First, the song of the elders and the cherubim, and then the song of the angels that surround them, innumerable, and then all the way to the edges of heaven. These songs that go in three waves of a crescendo that gets louder with every wave of it, worshiping and praising the Lord. You know why God loves worship? Because it's good that we're in the Bible and we learn and we grow and we study and we understand. That's all wonderful, mighty, and beautiful. But God also loves the heart. And it's through worship that you share with God how you feel about him. Not just what you think about him, but how you feel about him. That's what worship is. It's not singing as a warm-up act for the Bible study. It's worship. And worship is communicating to God how you feel about him. And David, maybe more than any other human being, God was saying, that's what I was going after. That's what I want. I want kids who are so in love with their daddy and they're not afraid nor ashamed and unabashed to express it. And so that, because that's the nature of God. He's unafraid, unashamed, unabashed. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. This month, we're hoping you'll take a moment to send us a few lines to let us know how this program is touching your life, like these listeners did.
Dear Pastor Ray, I am hearing impaired and legally blind. And since I don't go to a physical church anymore, I enjoy going to your website to find the sermons.
Hi, Pastor Ray. I'm a brand new Christian and I've never read the Bible, but I find I like your teaching very much.
If you've never read the Bible, get a copy of our resource called A Year in the Word. It's a one-year Bible reading plan. Start the new year with a fresh resolve to read God's Word. We'll send you A Year in the Word to thank you for sending a comment about the broadcast. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So this is heaven. Heaven is only a mirror of what should happen with the family of God on earth. They're a mirror of one another. When Jesus takes the scroll from the right hand, all heaven breaks loose in worship and praise. Why? Why did the cherubim go crazy? Why did the seraphim begin screaming, holy, holy, holy? Why do the elders fall on their faces? Why did the angels begin to praise the Lord? And everything through the nature of creation begins to praise him, because the curse will finally, fully, forever be reversed. And there's going to break forth in the last few years before the Lord comes, the greatest revival, where there is millions of people, untold number from every nation, language, kindred, and tribe. The church will be finally honored and brought and exalted by the side of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and granted the privilege to rule and reign with him. It is the pent-up passion of the ages that is now finally released from heaven. And what's amazing is, who are they worshiping here in chapter 5? Where's all this pandemonium of praise and worship going? It's going to the Lamb. It is going to the Messiah. It is going to Jesus. And what is amazing about that is, all that same worship and praise back in chapter 4 was given to God, the one who is sitting upon the throne. So in chapter 4, the Father, they're all worshiping the Father on the throne. In chapter 5, as the Son takes the scroll from the right hand of the Father, they begin to worship the Lamb in the same way. And as I mentioned here in your notes, the same worship to Jesus as the Messiah, as they did to the Father, means this is further proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. That the Father and Son are equal, that they are one, and that Jesus is worshiped as God in heaven. And so heaven begins to break forth. Let's look at the first song in verses 9 and 10. So he begins singing this song. Here's this new song that they sang. saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Oh, he is worthy. Why is he worthy? "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." He is worthy. He is worthy of our affection. He is worthy of our emotion. He is worthy of our love. Why? Because he was slain for you and me. Pure love is sacrificial love. There is no greater love in the universe than that one lay down his life. And as the Bible says, it would be something if you laid down your life for someone that loved you and that was your best friend or your spouse or your children. But here is the love of God commended, that while we were yet enemies, Christ laid down his life for you and me. If he loved you when you were his enemy, how much more does he love you now that you have turned and embraced him and received him and love him and worship him? How much more? That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 4. How much more now? The object of sacrifice is to restore the lost relationship between God and man. And that's what Jesus did. He restored the relationship between God and man. One man died so that all the rest of humanity would not have to die and could live in immortality. But here's the beautiful and the good news. The one who died for all the rest of humanity himself resurrected from the dead on the third day. He didn't remain dead. But because of who he is, death couldn't hold on to him. And like Samson, he flexed his muscles and he broke death and took away the sting of death like tinsel. It just snapped like cords. And he is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Jesus rules. Jesus reigns. And he says, "Whosoever will come, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall not even die," Jesus said. He is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
He's awesome. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's read that from your notes out loud. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I want to say again, the only places in the world that are replenishing their population, in other words, who are having enough children so that they will continue on, are those who either believe within Judaism in the resurrection or Christianity in the resurrection. Everywhere else in the world is having problems. And it's because of the power and the hope of the resurrection. That was the message of the apostles in the New Testament. And it cost the death of Jesus to rescue us from slavery to which we've been cast until this very day. And after Jesus redeemed us by bearing our sin on the cross, God raised him up and exalted him to the right hand. I want you to read with me Ephesians. I love this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Let's read it out loud. "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Hallelujah. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It is in me. The glory of God dwells within every child of God, within every believer is the glory of God. And may I say, that glory starts as a little, you know, it's like a little flame, but it's eternal. It is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, but that glory, once you are lit and the light and the life of Jesus is in you, it starts like a little flame, but it grows brighter. In fact, the way that the New Testament describes it is that outwardly, we're perishing. Outwardly, we're kind of fading away. We're getting weaker on the outside, but inwardly, Paul said, we are growing stronger. Inwardly, our glory is growing. It's like we're burning from the inside out. And one day, this robe of flesh will slough off. And we will have a new body that can hold and contain the intensity, the brilliance, the brightness, the warmth, the power of the glory that is internally within us. It shall increase evermore. And God is pouring out His Spirit upon the whole world right now. His glory is now. This is the hour where God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. This is the hour where God's glory is going to be manifest. And in the end, it will be visible. You will see it. And that veil between the worldly and the supernatural will be taken away. And every eye shall see Him. Every eye shall see Him as He comes with 10,000 times 10,000 of His saints. So here, they're worshiping, and they're giving, the elders and the cherubim and the seraphim are praising Him. And here, for the believers, He made us kings. We are kings. He opened to men the royalty of sonship with God. We are His sons, and our Father has a kingdom, and it is His good pleasure to share that kingdom with us. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor Ray Bentley, giving us a glimpse of our heavenly inheritance. Glad you've joined us for our studies in Revelation today here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD. We'll send it to you for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message called All Heaven Breaks Loose. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're offering our listeners a valuable tool to help them start the new year. It's a way to get the most from their devotion times called A Year in the Word. First, though, why are daily quiet times, devotion times, so important? What if I think I just don't have time?
Oh, man, do you have time to breathe? Do you have time to, have your heartbeat? We take it for granted that, yes, I need to breathe. Why do you need to breathe? Because I want to live. And the same thing goes with your daily walk with God. Now, this is your Father, your Heavenly Father. And He, His words on a daily basis for you are words of life. They are words of love. They are words of peace, of His presence, of the glory of the Lord. And most excitingly, promises. There's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And there's a scripture that says every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What that means is we can, as a child of God, personalize every promise in the Bible to ourselves. They're true for the whole family, and they're true for you individually. But you'll never be able to live off the promises unless you read them, and you can't apply them until you've invested in spending time before the Lord. So the Word is how He speaks to us. Prayer, we speak to Him. Then you get a conversation going, and God makes the Word come alive. You personalize it, and man, you're on your way to an exciting life.
Well, we want to send you this helpful tool for investing yourself in the daily reading of God's Word with the new year almost upon us. A Year in the Word. It's a reading plan that'll take you all the way through the Bible in a year with only a few minutes spent each day. How do you get it? Well, here's how. Send us a comment about what these daily studies mean in your life, and we'll send it to you. That's it. That's the cost. We want to hear your thoughts, your comments, and then we'll send this resource your way. Not a penny for your thoughts, a helpful Bible study tool for your thoughts. So write us today at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Again, the resource is called A Year in the Word. or order it online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.